I think when we start understanding how sin caused such a separation. Like, how many sins did Adam commit? One. Right? From one sin, you see all the sin in the world. But from one sin, what the ramification it has upon the whole world. Right? And how many sins did Jesus die for? Think of what was put on him. He died for the root of sin, for Adam's sin, but he died for all our sins. You think of the time that he was on the cross, and all the weight of every single sin was placed on him. And sometimes I think we want to excuse sin. We think, oh, my sin doesn't affect anybody. Or this little sin doesn't affect anything. You know, my sin, oh, I have a sinful desire to do this, but it won't affect somebody. But as Adam, we've seen how it affected all of mankind. It affected from the beginning, and it will affect until the end. It's just how it affects mankind. And until we get our glorified bodies, we'll be dealing with sin in our own lives. And as we are reminded as believers that when we sin, now as a believer, we're getting right with God. And all we need to confess and repent of our sin. Be in right standing with Him. Right? So the ramifications of one sin and the effects of it passed down even before you were born. And when you came out of your mother's womb, you were considered a sinner. Romans 3:23 talks about that. For we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us were born perfect. None of us were born holy. We were separated from God from the beginning. And yet, amazing how God formed us and made us in our mother's womb. And God knows us before we even were created. Right? That's a big God. And I think about, and by one sacrifice, perfect sacrifice, a holy sacrifice, that we're redeemed because of Christ. And I hope that our love for the Lord will grow when we start understanding the effects of sin. Sometimes we departmentalize sin. Well, you know, this sin I did was just a very small sin. I didn't murder, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. So we think there's certain levels of sin. But how does God see sin? Disobedience. All sin is equal. Sin is sin. And sometimes we try to excuse our sin. Say, well, I did, whatever, I didn't, I'm not as bad as somebody else. Oh, I didn't do this. Look at that person, look how bad he is. I'm not nothing compared to that. I don't even come close to that. We always like to blame other people or compare ourselves to other people when we have to say, Lord, I've fallen short. And Lord, I repent of my sin. As a believer, we repent. And so Romans 5:21, therefore, just as through one man sin entered in the world, that's through Adam, and the death through sin. So what does sin bring? Death. Separation. It brings that you're no longer in right relationship with God. And thus, death spread to all men. That's for all mankind. From Adam's one act of sin, ramifications throughout all mankind to all the generations because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no sin. 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. There was an argument. It's like, okay, well, between from Adam to Moses, there was no law. But they all have sin. From Adam to Moses, right, there was no law, but they all sinned. And they all died. He's trying to say that there's no excuses. All have sinned. And death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him, so that'd be of Christ, who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died. Sin brings death. Much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one man who sinned. What was the gift that we got from Adam? I think of sometimes we think, boy, I like to, when I get to see Adam, I'm going to give him a blast, you know. They say, how dare you do this? Why did you do this? But if you look at ourselves, if we were in the garden, we would have sinned too. No, well, we could blame our wives, but when you look at Adam, it's actually his fault. Because Adam was standing right beside Eve, because Eve was deceived by Satan, and Adam was directly right beside her because she turned to him and gave him the apple to eat. Because of his mouth not opening his mouth, he's at fault. And so for us as men, we have headship over our homes. And sometimes we don't follow through or are not acting as the men that we ought to be in our homes. There's a great responsibility for every Bible-believing man. He's supposed to be the head, the covering of the marriage. He's supposed to be the head and covering. The responsibility falls upon his shoulders. Sometimes we fall short on that. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. By the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification through Christ. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as though one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteousness act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many made sinners. Talking about Adam. The old disobedience. Also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Talk about Jesus. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounds, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus our Lord. It's amazing. Sometimes people don't want to talk about sin and the effects of sin and how sin is very destructive. So the more that you know, and I know about the how powerful sin is, how it controls, how it influences us, and how sin ruins lives, marriages, right? Sin ruins a lot of things. And so often we say, well, this sin is no big deal. Sin is sin in God's eyes. Sin is very, has an effect. And we see in our world today how sin is running rampant. When you take God out of the picture in society, what comes in? The devil has more of a foothold in this world. And you see all the different lifestyles are being promoted and different things. They're saying what is acceptable and what's not acceptable. It's mind-blowing because God placed in everybody's heart knowing what is right. We read that in Romans. I think Romans 1 or 2, I can't remember now. But it talks about how God placed in our, we know what is right and wrong. And how people have gone astray and people love their sin more than God. We see that. It's amazing how was it Matthew 24, I think. Talks about 15, therefore you will see the abomination on desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. There'll be more abomination and desolation in this world before Christ comes, before we are taken out. We will see things, sin reigning, reigning more and more every day. But we're, as believers, we're supposed to be living a life that is different from this world, to share the truth of the gospel, to speak out what is true and what is holy. Well, that makes sense. The more we know about our salvation, the more they know about the Word of God, then the more confident we are in the Word of God. So the more we are more confident in our salvation, what Jesus has purchased for us, we will become more confident in who He is. Because we should be convicted of sin. And if we're not being convicted of sin, then is my heart hardened? You know, and there was a Psalm 139. It talks about, Lord, search my heart. Know my thoughts. Reveal anything in my life that needs to be dealt with. Sometimes we don't do that. We just keep on going. I know the one devotion we're doing is just like, are we taking time every day to hear God's voice? Are we quieting ourselves to hear from Him today? Or are we too busy doing things to not want to deal with the things that God is really pointing out to us? Is our confidence in the Word of God grows, we praise God, we give God praise. In Ephesians 6, I know Ian and I read this yesterday. It was Ephesians 3:16. This is a prayer I hope for all of us is that we will know, Ephesians 3:16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened in might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints that is the width and length and the depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. How could you know what love is unless you understand how sin has separated us? How can you know what love is? We know what love is because Christ went to the cross for you. That's a great love. So as in Romans 5, 12 to 21, we see a vivid picture of what God sees when he looks at this world. That there are those who are dead in Adam and those who are alive in Christ. So where does God find you today? Are you still in Adam, in sin, separated from God in death and destruction? Or have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, where there's hope, redemption, justification? Where are we today? And that's the question we should be asking the people within the body of Christ. It's like, where are we today in Christ? Am I still walking in the habit of sinning in this one path? Like, we could be set free from the sin that so easily entangles us. Because it talks about that. And sometimes there's generational sins passed down from our fathers, from people that before us that we had no idea about. So we can be set free from generational sins. And to confess them and repent of them, and so that they would no longer have a stronghold over our lives. And so, and eventually, as we renew our mind in the Word of God, we'll see certain sins, like, no longer have a stronghold in our lives. Because the Holy Spirit's working in you so that you don't long for those sins or that desires. He's changing your life. Hopefully this makes sense. Genesis tells us that God created man to spend eternity with him. There was no death before Adam's sin. Or sometimes maybe there's a gap theory. I don't know if anybody's heard about the gap theory. The gap theory is between there was death, because some people say, where did the dinosaurs go? Was man walking with the dinosaurs? Man was walking with dinosaurs. Dinosaurs were created, and man the next day was walking with all the animals. He named them all. And the gap theory says that dinosaurs died, right? And then man was created. And there was a whatever time period between dinosaurs' death and man coming alive, when God created man. But if there's death before Adam, then that undermines the gospel. That undermines the cross. I'm just trying to get that ramification, because if death before Adam's sin, then everything that Christ has done and accomplished doesn't mean ill beings. And sometimes we hear these different theories. And so, because in Cambodia, at this one temple at Siem Reap, there's a picture of a dinosaur. And they walked with man until a couple hundred years ago, until man killed them all off. There's pictures there's pictograms on the walls. And you can see the one dinosaur. And they were not digging up dinosaurs prior to that. Man seen and walked with dinosaurs. And they drew pictures of them. Where do you think dragons come from? Dragons were called dinosaurs now. Dragons were dinosaurs. The name changed in the 1890s or something. So we look at this. I got sidetracked. But I think it's important to understand the very root of things. Because there's a lot of misinformation that is causing people to doubt and to not truly take hold of the truth of the gospel. So if you are believing certain lies, it actually undermining what the Word of God says. Because you are now believing a lie. Satan lied to Eve. Did God really say you cannot eat from this tree? He put doubt in her mind. God did say to Adam, says, do not eat from this tree. You can do whatever you want in this whole garden. You can eat from any other tree but that one. And why did God do that? Choice, yes. You also want to see if God is going to be obedient to him. Obedience. He gave Adam a choice. And he put the tree in the middle of the garden. He's seen that tree and he's seen all this. But he wanted to see if Adam was going to make a choice of being obedient to God. Because God says, do not do this. How often has God spoken to us and said, do not do that? You know, sometimes we'll see a sign saying, wet paint. How many of us are tempted to go and touch the wall and see if it's still wet? I know I do at times. I just like, is it wet? He says, do not do certain things. You know, somebody says, do not do that. That's the worst thing to tell your kids because they're going to actually go out and test and do it. Do not go on your phone, Zane. Right? And the next thing you know, he's on his phone. Right? But it's a free will, free choice. So Adam was the first man, and sin entered the world through him in death. Sin brought in death. Until that point, there was no death in the garden. Until Adam sinned. Think of that. Nothing died until Adam sinned. And now we have sin reigning through all mankind and death. We think about death, physical death. It was the first time for physical death, spiritual death, eternal death, eternal separation from God. And think about all that Christ has done. He brought life, gave us life, eternal life, be with our Heavenly Father forever when we receive him. Romans 6:23 talks about the wages of sin is death, the penalty of sin. The Bible reveals the origin of sin, that all mankind is under sin and death, completely deprived without God. So if you're in Adam right now, you're totally deprived. You cannot have joy, peace, comfort, hope. The implications that implications that those who are in Adam are condemned. They're under wrath of God. They're without hope, without God, separated, and on the way to hell. So for our family members who do not know Christ, and following them, I can think of many of mine who have turned their back towards Christ. You do not want anything to do with Christ. And it's an amazing thing, God gives all of us a choice to follow him or not to follow him. We pray for them. Pray for the salvations. We pray that God opens up their eyes to see and know the truth. And so if you're in Christ, you're forgiven. This is the hope that we have. In Christ, you're forgiven, justified, made righteous. Right standing. He made it so that you have never sinned. That's hard to believe. It's like, this is what Christ does for us. He makes it as if that we never sinned against the law. And we're like, wow, I can think of my rap sheet. But it's just like, this is what happens because of Christ. He justifies us. This is the mercy. Mercy is God's unmerited love and compassion towards those who have sinned. He died for us. He gives us hope of heaven, hope for eternal life with Jesus Christ. You have assurance in Jesus' finished work on the cross. So everyone is first born in Adam. So we're all born in Adam. But you have to be born again, a second birth, or a second rebirth to be in Christ. To be made new. Adam acted as the federal headship and brought sin and death and condemnation onto the whole human race. He was given dominion over everything, so he was the headship of all of mankind. Because of his sin, there's effects of it. Think of our government. Our government pact, they have a headship over us. Even though we might not agree with their policies and stuff they do, it affects us. You think of Adam, how it has affected us. So the first sin brought death into the world, spiritual death and physical death, eternal death. Jesus acted as he is our headship once we become a believer, but he acted as a federal headship of one man. Jesus went to the cross in obedience, took our sins upon him, and died on the cross so that we may have eternal life. Jesus took our guilt, our punishment, so that we can be declared righteous by a holy God. We're justified by faith in what Jesus accomplished on the cross. We sung it today. 3 days after death, he came out of the tomb, conquering death, hell, and the grave. In his resurrection, we are given life, eternal life, eternal hope, eternal ever to be with the Father. When we repent, when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is our Lord, and we put our trust in him alone, and we become under the headship of Christ. That's when we come under the headship. In Colossians 1:18, it says, and he is the head of the body. He is Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things may have preeminence. So 1 Colossians 1:18. When we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, becomes the headship over our lives. That we come under him. He is our Lord and our Savior. He's the one that we share. Hopefully this all making sense. I know sometimes maybe it's basic, but it's good to refresh ourselves the basic truth of the gospel. So now we're under the lordship, the headship of Jesus Christ. That we, says, if you really love me, you do what I ask. And I think, how many times have I not done what the Lord has asked? And so I repent. Right? Becoming a believer doesn't make you perfect, but it puts you in the right position. And that Christ is working in your hearts, changing you, changing your attitudes, your perspectives, and just changing, transforming your heart so you're, how you thought before changes, and what you live for changes, and who you live for changes. For what Adam ruined, Jesus redeemed. This is all in here in Romans 5, 12 to 21. There's a contrast. They're talking about the contrast between Adam and Christ. There's a contrast between them. For what Adam did, Christ redeemed. So Adam ruined, Jesus redeemed because of his obedience, death, and resurrection. Jesus never sinned. Perfect without any blemish. Jesus offers a new life, freedom from sin that causes death. Verse 12, it talks about in Romans 5, 12, it says, it actually deals with the original sin, where original sin came from. So sin entered the human family through one man. That one man is Adam. So Adam is a historical figure. He truly lived. He was the one who God created. Don't let anyone tell you that Adam is a myth or he's figurative or that he's not real. But sometimes the ramifications people try to undermine. If there was no Adam, if Adam was just figurative and wasn't real, that he's a myth, that he's just an allegory, some, you know, character that somebody made up or a picture, then what happens to how original sin entered the world? So if Adam was not totally created, if he's figurative, wasn't literally born and God created, and if you take Adam out of the picture, then how does original sin enter the world? Do you fully understand what I'm saying? If Adam was not created, and if he's only figurative, or allegorical figure or myth, then the question is, how does sin come into the world? Right? So I do believe that Adam and Eve were two literal human beings, because the Bible says they were. Right? The first human being ever created. All humanity came from two people, not from two monkeys, not from two chimpanzees, or any prehistorical goop, or this simple molecule that somehow one simple molecule decided to multiply with another simple molecule, but how did that simple molecule become a second molecule, and so forth. Now I'm going to be talking about evolution. Just think about this big bang and everything came together. In order to believe that God, there's a creator that created all things. So we didn't come from two monkeys, nor from two chimpanzees, or some simple molecule. God created us. He formed us in our mother's womb. He has a plan and a purpose. The Big Bang is trying to take God out of the picture. God made Adam from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils and became a living being. And then God caused Adam to fall asleep. He took his rib and created woman, a suitable helper for Adam. Not somebody that's a lesser of a person or nothing, but they're co-equals. So the Bible says sin came into the world from Adam. So if there's no Adam, hypothetically, if there's no Adam, then where does sin come from? If there is no real sin that came into the world, there's no need for a Savior. And that was my whole point I was trying to get. If you take Christ out of if you take Adam out of the picture, there's no need for a Savior. In the beginning, I talked about how if there was death prior to Adam's sin, then there's no need for the cross for redemption. Because then you're saying that God made a mistake. And God does not make a mistake. So when you hear, you start believing different evolution stories, evolution, it actually is trying to undermine the sovereignty of God, taking God out of the picture. And so often, even churches, Bible-believing people, believe in evolution, which is a lie from Satan. It's trying to cause you to then undermine what the Word of God says. Right? I'm just trying to lay the foundation. This is like, I hope this is making sense. Right? It's important to know and ask, if I believe in evolution, why do I believe in evolution? Because somebody taught me. Creation is what God created. God created the world in 6 days, literal 6 days. In a 24-hour period, God spoke it, and it became. The next day, God spoke it, and it became. Third day, and each day was good. It was perfect. Right? And on the seventh day, he rested. So, you know, the Bible, even like, to believe that Adam and Eve were figurative it undermines the foundation of the gospel. As far back as the Garden of Eden, God prophesied that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. The seed of the woman is the Messiah. The seed of the woman comes from there. Even God had a plan from the beginning to deal with the root of sin. The Bible teaches us the foundational truths. Why there is death in the world. Why the world is in the condition it is in and getting worse. Why Christians... Well, believers, believers, it's a narrow path. The narrow way is the right way. It's not a wide road, which leads to destruction. Wide roads accepts everything around the worldly thing. But the narrow road that leads, what scripture is that? In Matthew? It talks about the narrow road. And so we are supposed to be on the narrow road that leads to life. There's no other way to get to heaven except through Christ. There's no one else can redeem us. It's only through Christ. Jesus came to deal with the sin issue. Jesus came to set us free. Jesus came because of his mercy and grace. God in the beginning never created man to be separated from him. He created us to be with him. God created us so we would never experience death. I think sometimes that's why we don't like death, because we were not created to die. That's why we want to live. God placed that in our lives. Because of sin, it brought death. Right? Matthew 7:14. Can you read it, John, so I don't butcher it? That's why, as believers, you're not supposed to accept Middle Eastern religions or bringing other religions in or bringing the worldly things into the body of Christ. We're supposed to be believing what the Word of God says from Genesis to Revelation in its entirety. It was given by God for us to be able to walk in obedience to His Word, to know the truth so that the truth will set us free, to redeem those who are sinners. And that's the gospel. This is the hope that we have. Right? In Psalm 51, 5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and the sin of my mother conceived me." So it's even how in the psalm it talks about how sin was, you were born in iniquity and in sin. So, I don't know.
Oh.
You know that sin is appealing to all men? Sin exists and it affects our hearts and our desires. Sin affects our heart and our desires. And that's why Jesus wants us not to desire sin. And that's the desire for us, is to die daily through our old nature and to put on the new nature, to be transformed into the newness of Christ. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we're going to flop. With the Holy Spirit, He enables us to live a life. Because I was thinking, it's like the sin in my life that's ruined. When I sin, it's like because I wasn't being obedient. And I was allowing my flesh to rise up and to be doing, and I became disobedient, and I was not even following God at all. My flesh was desiring things contrary to what the Word of God said. But our hope is found in Christ. I'll finish with this. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. So Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. This is what Christ did because of grace, through faith in Christ. And you, He, Jesus, made alive. So if we receive Christ, then He makes you alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once, past tense. Sin should not have dominion over our lives. He broke that chain off of us. Which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, so that under the influence of Satan, he's the prince and power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, so that Adam, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God in his mercy, but God who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and then he made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. It's unmerited. We don't deserve this. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Amen. I think, yeah. That's a good scripture to meditate on this week. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, as you've taken us to the basics of our faith in you to understand if we are believing any kind of lie that is contrary to your word. I pray, Father, that you would reveal that to us. Lord, that you would replace that lie with your truth. And Lord, that we would truly take hold of the truth and run with the truth and trust and depend on you, that our love for you would grow immensely. Our desires for you would grow immensely. Father, that we would die to our old nature. And Lord, as we read and meditate on your word, that we would desire more of you and less of the things of this world. Lord, I thank you by your Holy Spirit that you're transforming our hearts. You're renewing our minds as we read word. And I thank you, Lord, that you're here. You're always with us. And Lord, that you're always desiring for us to become more like Christ every single day of our lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.